Right. So, the background for this is that it's for my child psych class, and these are questions that I've written based off the suggestions that were given for their paper assignment. So for all these questions, please keep in mind how you would answer them specifically in terms of your own childhood, / how you were raised or intend to raise your own children, and how you see children being raised in society as a whole. Those are the three things you should keep in mind.
But otherwise it's quite straightforward,
exactly. So question one, how do you see nature, that is genetic makeup and nurture, physical and social environment, contributing to a child's development?
Nature and nurture, not nature or nurture.
You can treat it as an and or question if you would like. They're fairly open to interpretation.
Well, I see both of them making a contribution. Especially the nurture, the environment, or lack of it. Children coming from a good home versus a so-called broken home. Children with access to good food and good education versus no access. So I think it makes a tremendous difference in how the child turns out.
Okay. Excellent. Question two is, what do you think influences the development of specific traits such as athletic ability, food preference, choice of friends, and intellectual ability?
Choice of foods and friends is mostly what you grow up with. You eat what your parents eat, or what you're forced to eat. You may be influenced by your friends in the sense of being introduced to junk food, for example. But again, a lot of the primary influence is you either get good or bad eating habits from your immediate home environment. Athletic ability, that's a tougher one.
Well, basically the question is looking for whether or not you think it's something that is inherently biological or something that you acquire through social interaction or environmental factors.
I don't think people are born athletes. Certainly, if you decide to become an athlete of a particular kind, your genetic makeup will help in the sense you have longer legs or good bones or whatever. But if you don't have parents who are willing to encourage the ability, or you don't have access to a running track or a gymnasium or whatever it is, the environment comes from. I'm an Olympic gold medalist.
Indeed you are. Right. So, what child-rearing practices do you view as most and least effective in terms of discipline, encouragement, etc.? What is the right role for a parent to play in a child's life?
Most effective, leading by example. Least effective, coercion by punishment.
Very concise, wow.
So, Dad, where'd you go?
By reward and punishment.
Okay, I'll add that. But in terms of then discipline, how do you see discipline working then?
Most effective, least effective?
Yeah. Right. I mean, you didn't beat the crap out of me when I was little.
Right, and never once felt I had to either. But why? I can't
forget. Well, I mean, because we were talking about it in class, like different methods of discipline, different methods of enforcing rules in a house. And I mean, how do you communicate to a child, this is how we do things in this house, and if you don't do things this way, this is the consequence? I mean, okay, well, it doesn't even have to be specific to me as a kid. Like, how do you see, like, an ideal scenario like that playing out? If the kid's not allowed to put their feet on the chair, like, what... How do you communicate to them they can't do that? Do you, like, scream at them? Do you hit them? Do you say, I'll give you a candy bar if you don't do that? Like...
I think, no.
I mean, those are all ridiculous extremes, but, you know.
I would say explain the reason for it. And try to get the kid to understand why. That rule exists. I mean, the last thing you want is, that's the law because I said so.
Right, okay, so no handing down of no commandments.
They say no appeals to authority.
He's ironing right now, by the way, just for the record. I keep disappearing. Just put away the ironing board. We're at the house. Okay, so the next question is, do you believe that children learn more from their peers or from older children and adults?
Oh. I think they learn more from their peers simply because their peers are the ones they associate with most. And however, well, I mean, obviously you learn from your parents. You learn the rules from your parents. You learn the interesting stuff from your peers. And for older children, I don't know. I don't think I... depends on how... Yeah, I'd say more peers.
Okay. Let's see. This is one for you. No, actually, that's the next one. My bad. What changes in child-rearing practices have you witnessed across generations? So,
well,
that was primarily for Pat, that one, but...
Well, for my generation, there were certain things that did that brought out the leather strap. Jumping on the bed was one. Personal experience there.
That was administered by your dad?
Yeah, but I think sometimes my mother, but usually my dad. And then, of course, there was the corporal punishment in schools.
And was that at the Christian school, or?
Well, they're all Christian in America.
That's true, okay. So there would have been brothers handing down the whacking, or nuns, or just teachers?
Teachers, this was not there. This was at the Boys National School. So that wasn't all my religious order.
And what kind of things would you get caned for, and like, to what extent?
Not doing your homework or answering questions incorrectly when you should know them.
God.
Yeah. You're supposed to learn something about a subject, and you might get away with one or two wrong answers, but if you're consistently...
And it was a hand.
Yeah, six.
Six?
If it was really bad, I don't think I ever got six. Six of the best that you could be called in.
God. And what did the cane look like?
It looked like a walking stick but made of really skinny bamboo, so it would go...
Oh, God.
And it sting when it came down. It was like a very skinny walking stick. Flexible.
And why the hand?
And if it had followed that trajectory, we would now have... And why the hand? Because it was easier than the buttocks.
Okay. So have you noticed any cultural differences in the ways the children are raised? Mr. Resident Alien.
I don't know if it's...
But it doesn't have to be, I mean,
cultural
just
so
you.
So much of the generation, and the fact that when I'm in a restaurant and I see the parents, the yuppie parents, smiling indulgently as the little brat almost goes headfirst through a display case. There's where a leather strap might be appropriate. In the form of a heart.
Oh my God.
He's not stealing, he's expressing his desire for more treats.
No, but I mean, you say that, but you didn't beat the shit out of me when I was little.
No, but you learned a monster for some reason. What? And I think part of it was you learned to talk very early on. You could communicate.
That
you.
Is true. I think, I mean, it really does play
a
big
role.
Difference.
We never had the terrible twos because you were able to talk before, well before two.
Yeah. See, you should have had another one. Then you would have all been different.
It's not that there weren't some battles, but it was just when I heard the horror stories from other people, because I think they were just trying too hard. They had this idea that...
Although, I mean... There are kids who can't actually produce speech themselves, but they still undoubtedly understand a lot of what you're saying.
Yeah.
So it is possible to reason with them, even though they can't respond to you in words, but I still think it definitely makes it more difficult.
Yeah.
So, alright. Nearly there. Have you noticed any sex differences in the way that children are raised?
Not apart from the stereotypical stuff. You know, the boys play with the tanks and guns, and the girls play with the dolls because that's what people get them. And same thing with dressing them.
But in terms of attitudes of parents towards the children, discipline-wise, chores, career encouragement, that kind of thing, no differences?
Say I have, because I haven't really paid attention to what other people do, unless they're blatantly setting the kid up to be a psychopath in later life.
Okay, and I mean, if you reflect on your own childhood, though, I mean, obviously I know the way that you guys raised me, I wasn't told that I was destined to be a secretary or whatever, but, I mean, the way, when you were growing up, did you notice differences in the way that boys and girls were raised. Okay. Oh, that's fine. Alright, and the last one is comparing to, like, the most prominent theories of this type of child development. There's stage theories and continuous development theories. And so stage theories, the kind of dumbed down explanation is that children go through distinct stages as they mature, and they have to be ready to move out of one stage before they can go to the next one.
Yeah.
Piaget. And the continuous development is that children gradually learn new things as they mature and kind of master each task as they go, but there's no specific stage. And so my last question for you is, which one of those theories do you think most accurately represents your views, and why would you say that? It's an essay question.
Well, yeah, when we talk, there's a subtopic in computer science called process improvement. And there are process improvement models that have been put out by the guy who died recently, Ross Humphrey. And there's a stage model and a continuous model. And there are competing theories about, you know, this company and that stage one, stage two, stage three, whether it's this one, it's, yeah, they're doing this, but they're doing that here for a higher level.
But in that model, there are two things that can coexist. Because the...
Yeah, I think...
The proponents of the two respective theories are, like, bitter enemies in psychology, and...
Well, they're not in this, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
it's more two
they...
Models that
the stage theories came first, so continuous development references stage theories,
yeah.
Even though they don't agree with it. They're like, oh, well, you see... such and such a kid is obviously exhibiting elements of this stage and also of this stage, but they don't actually believe in the concept of stages. Whereas Piaget, in the stage theory's idea, was really hardcore about, like, you have to have accomplished all of these developmental milestones within this stage before you can move on. Doesn't correspond to age.
Yeah.
I mean, it roughly does, but
not
the markers are the individual things that you have mastered or things that you have gone through.
Yeah.
And until you've done all of them, you are stuck in whatever stage.
Yeah, I mean, so it's
so which one of those would you go for?
Well, the problem is it's never an either or.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but, like, do you have any kind of leanings, or are you ambivalent about it?
But I can certainly see how there are some adults that they may be chronologically adults, but they're still teenagers.
So that's like the stuck in one stage kind of idea?
Yeah.
Okay, well, unless you have anything else that you would like to add, or things that you think I left out, or whatever, then that's the end of the question. Any other profound words for posterity? That will be immortalized in this 4-page fantastic document.
Shit, you could write a book about any one of those questions.
I know. Well, I mean, I kind of did more for these questions than was necessary for
the
assignment,
yeah,
because they give you like two example questions in the assignment, and they say like talk to your parents and your grandparents or whoever in your family about these issues, and make sure to include mention of nature and nurture and continuous versus discontinuous development in your analysis. They didn't say to include that in the interview, but I figured, hey, if I'm going to talk about my perspective about it, I might as well include it in the interview while I have the captive audience, so to say. So, yeah. Right. Well, this is good, because Mom is not here, and I was hoping that I was going to have an opportunity to do the two of you separately, because I figured if you did them both at the same time, you would
peruse
each other's answers.
Yeah, that's better to have, yeah.
And then it's hard enough to get down one person's responses. If you're trying to write two people's different responses at the same time, you'd go crazy.
Yeah.